Welcome to In Your Corner, a program designed with you in mind. The Christian life is a fight, and we want you to know that we are in your corner. God the Father loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for you, has given his Holy Spirit to indwell you and guide you, and has given you people like myself in the body of Christ to help shepherd you along. Yes, we're in your corner. And the Bible says, if God be for us, then who then can be against us? We're here to help you get your day started with song, scripture, and prayer. Because if we're going to beat the devil, we got to get filled with the Spirit of God. Then we got to get dressed up with the Word of God. Then we got to get prayed up with all prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to Almighty God. Yes, we are in your corner. So go wake up your sister. Go wake up your brother. Go wake up your niece. Go wake up your nephew. Go wake up your son, your daughter. Go wake them all up in the house. Whoever's in the house, wake them up this morning. Let them know that In Your Corner is on the air. Oh yes, we're on the air. We're trying to help you get your day started. Come on, get out the bed, sleepy head. Time to wake up, let the bed go. Let that pillow go. Time to get out the bed. Time to get out the bed. It's time to get up. Time to get up. Cock-a-doodle-doo. Oh, let me just go get my rooster this morning. Let me just, I got some roosters. I don't have to be up here crowing, talking about cock-a-doodle-doo. I can go get my rooster. Come on, Benny. Red and Crow, come on. Come on, y'all wake them up this morning. They're kind of slow this morning. They're kind of slow by getting up. There we go, Red. There we go. Wake them up. Wake them up. Wake them up. Y'all get out the bed. Y'all hear Benny, Red, and Crow crowing this morning. All right, listen. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go get me one of these quartet singers. They'll get you up going. Let me go get the Mighty Clouds. They get your blood stirring. The Mighty Clouds of Joy. Talking about, I made a step. Come on, come on. You need to make a step. Step on out the bed this morning, sleepy head, and come on and make a step. Make a step. All right, that was the Mighty Clouds of Joy talking about if you make one step, he'll make two. No telling what God can do. Like Moses, he told him, just scratch out your rod. And all he had to do was scratch out that rod. And you know what happened after that. The Red Sea came open and they went on cross on dry land. You make one step, he'll make two. All right, ain't no telling what he's going to do. All right, you hold on to that today. That's your song for today. Now it's time to read the Bible. It's time to read the Bible. Go get your Bible. Go get your Bible. This morning we'll be finishing up the book of 2 Thessalonians. The book of 2 Thessalonians. As well as we're reading over into 1 Timothy. All the way to chapter 5. At least we're going to try to get to chapter 5. All right, but we're going to start at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Reading along this morning with the Bible Experience.
As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. Anyone who is unwilling to work shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy. They are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat.
And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. Take special note of those who do not obey our instruction in this letter. Do not associate with them in order that they may feel ashamed. Yet do not regard them as enemies, but warn them as fellow believers. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand, which is the distinguishing mark in all my letters. This is how I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
The end of the book of 2 Thessalonians.
Jesus, by the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope. To Timothy, my true son in the faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus, so that you may command certain persons not to teach false doctrines any longer, or to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Such things promote controversial speculations, rather than advancing God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some have departed from these and have turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they so confidently affirm. we know that the law is good if one uses it properly. We also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, for the sexually immoral, for those practicing homosexuality, for slave traders and liars and perjurers. And it is for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine that conforms to the gospel concerning the glory of the blessed God, which he entrusted to me. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Timothy, my son, I am giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well, holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to the faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and human beings, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. And for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, and a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles. Therefore, I want the men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing. I also want the women to dress modestly, with decency and propriety, adorning themselves not with elaborate hairstyles or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds, appropriate for women who profess to worship God. A woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to assume authority over a man. She must be quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner. But women will be saved through childbearing, if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with propriety. Here is a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders, so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. In the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested. And then, if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, the women are to be worthy of respect. Not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be faithful to his wife and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. Although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. He appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars, whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourselves to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family, and so repaying their parents and grandparents. For this is pleasing to God. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. Give the people these instructions so that no one may be open to blame. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. No widow may be put on the list of widows unless she is over 60, has been faithful to her husband, and is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the Lord's people, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. As for younger widows, do not put them on such a list, for when their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ, they want to marry. Thus they bring judgment on themselves, because they have broken their first pledge. Besides, they get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house. And not only do they become idlers, but also busybodies who talk nonsense, saying things they ought not to. So I counsel younger widows to marry, to have children, to manage their homes, and to give the enemy no opportunity for slander. Some have, in fact, already turned away to follow Satan. If any woman who is a believer has widows in her care, she should continue to help them and not let the church be burdened with them, so that the church can help those widows who are really in need. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For Scripture says, "Do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain," and, "Workers deserve their wages." Do not entertain an accusation against an elder, unless it is brought by two or three witnesses. But those elders who are sinning, you are to reprove before everyone, so that the others may take warning. I charge you, in the sight of God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels, to keep these instructions without partiality, and to do nothing out of favoritism. Do not be hasty in the laying on of hands, and do not share in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. Stop drinking only water, and use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illnesses. The sins of some are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them. The sins of others trail behind them. In the same way, good deeds are obvious, and even those that are not obvious cannot remain hidden forever.
All right. That's our scripture this morning. We read out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 through 1 Timothy chapter 5. May God bless those who have read and who have heard His holy word this morning. All right. It's prayer time now. It's prayer time. Come on, y'all. Let's come to Jesus this morning. Let's take our burdens to the Lord in prayer. Come on, y'all. Circle up. Let's grab hands. Let's bow our head. Let's close our eyes. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You and we do praise You for being so good to us. You've been better to us than we have been to ourselves. Thank You, Lord, for our last night lying down and our early morning rising. Thank You, dear God, that You touched us this morning with the finger of love, and You woke us up early this morning, and You have clothed us in our right mind. And so, Lord, we thank You for that. Now, Lord, as we began this day, Lord, we ask that You'll go before us, because we don't know what we're going to encounter this day. But You have already seen this day. And so, Lord, we just put this day before You, dear God. We ask, dear God, that You'll go before us in such a way, dear God, that You'll remove whatever need to be removed, dear God. Lord, and whatever needs to be in our pathway, Lord, we trust that You will put it there, that we can bump into our blessings. Oh, dear God, then we ask that You'll not only go before us, but go with us, dear God, because we need Your grace, dear God, Your power, because, Lord, there may be some people, dear God, that don't quite like us. There may be some people, dear God, that rub us the wrong way. And we need Your grace and we need Your power that we can deal with them in such a way, dear God, that it's going to bring honor and glory to Your holy and righteous name, because we don't want to say anything or do anything that's going to bring shame on You and the body of Christ. And then, Lord, we just pray for our families. Lord, we pray that You will strengthen our families where they have been weakened and build them back up where they have been torn down. Give our families the strength that we need in order to just keep on keeping on. Because, Lord, You said in Your word that the race is not to the fastest or to the swiftest, but it's to the one that endures unto the end. So give us that enduring grace on this day, and we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. All right, that's it. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. We done sung our song. We done had our scripture, and we done prayed our prayer. Now the clock on the wall is saying that's all this morning for this portion of In Your Corner. We certainly thank you this morning for getting out of that bed with us this morning and beginning your day with us. Let me encourage you now to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember, our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour, we minister in the Word, and at the bottom of the hour, we minister in music. So at 7 o'clock, I'll be back with Ghostbusters, because we got some strange things happening in the neighborhood, and somebody needs to say something about it. Then at 8 o'clock, I'll be back again in that situation room, where I give you a Christian response to the issues of our day. Then at 9 o'clock, we'll take a look in the book. Let you listen to a portion of a sermon that I preach right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. Then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackle. It'll make you face yourself and think. Then at 11 o'clock, we'll take a deeper look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of our Wednesday night Bible study. Then at 12 o'clock, if you missed any of these programs, guess what? We begin to rebroadcast them. So listen to us all day long, because we are in your corner.